Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, this is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to another episode of That Is Good to Know, where all of our Tampa listeners and all of our global listeners on our website at www.thatisgoodtoknow listen to these episodes. Our only goal is to say, hey, that was worth my time because it was good to know. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of a shift in the real estate industry. Lots of changes going on with the buyer-broker and buyer-broker agreements. And I have a special guest with us, John Grasse from LPT Realty, and he's going to kind of break it down for us. You know, what does it mean to you? How does it impact you? Things that you got to watch out for and what have you. So, John, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, such a pleasure. And I had the privilege and an opportunity to sit next to John at a recent event, and we got to talking on this subject. And I'm like, John, I think I need to see if you can come on my radio show, because there's a lot of questions that are going on about the new laws or rules that are in place and things like that that are important for people to know, because when they sign, it's not the same environment where, you know, your buyer's rep is the same as it used to be for your seller's rep, and the 3% commission on both sides, or, you know, a negotiated commission off that. They've changed a lot of things. So if you could take a minute, why don't you just start with, like, what is kind of like the buyer broker's agreement, just top level, and maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, how long you've been in realty for Florida and, you know, things of that nature.
Okay.
But that buyer's broker agreement, what was it? And then kind of what are, you know, maybe the pinnacles of the changes that are there?
A couple things I think needs to be brought out is that this change is not just a local, but it's a national change that had come down from the National Association of Realtors. Myself, I've been in Arizona practicing real estate. I started in 2008, and we always had a buyer's broker's agreement. Unfortunately, there's only about 17 states in the United States that have that type of agreement. And so it was customary for us, but however, many states, many brokers, agents, the consumer, and or the client have never experienced this, and it creates a lot of consternation of what's going on. So as such, I appreciate you bringing me in, and let me share a couple of the developments that happened. It's important for everybody to understand about why there is an agreement and what has transpired with the agreement. So in the past, what had transpired was the buyer and the seller did not really know exactly what was happening on commissions and structures. The agreement was set up for full disclosure, right? And the lawsuits came about because they were concerned that the listing brokers would advertise compensation for buyer's agents, and then people were picking and choosing who to show houses to, and the client, either on both sides, never really knew and had visibility what agents were making. The lawsuit came about, and some of the events that came about with the lawsuit was that they demanded across the country that there were written buyer agreements between the parties. There was agreements must outline the agent's compensation. The agreement must also have the disclosure of the compensation. And the agreement must disclose the amount or rate of compensation that they will receive, how it's received, and its objective. Now, there's also another component of it called negotiability. Agents must disclose the broker's fees and commissions are negotiable and not set by law. See, before, everybody thought, well, you know, these commissions were not negotiable, but they've always been negotiable, right? And so they wanted to take that element out and let everybody know that it's negotiable, right?
John, is it still negotiable? I mean, even after this law. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's important to know that, you know, as a buyer or seller, you can still negotiate the commissions. It's almost like the selling agent kind of has to publish this, right? They have to disclose it now so people can see it.
Well, so the buyer, so the, you're not allowed to disclose it on the MLS, right? So it's not disclosed anymore. And so it's tucked away and nobody knows. Before it was on the MLS and now it's not anymore. And so what happens is the agent has to sit and talk to the buyer about what is the rate that they're wanting to be compensated for their services, the agent slash broker. And that is negotiable, right? And a lot of times the agents will still call and they can still negotiate their fee with the seller. So that is still in play, that, that the agent, but now there's negotiations, right? There's not that, oh, we're just going to call and work a deal. Another thing that transpires here in Florida was they had what was called an MLS fee. I think that's one of those fees that's probably going to go by the wayside, because I had this discussion the other day. And I'm not sure sellers or buyers knew that agents were charging this MLS fee of $295, $395 to the other agent. And so I had expressed to these guys that, hey, you know what's going to happen? Those fees that we didn't do this in Arizona, but those fees that you guys are charging and charging the agent as an MLS fee, I don't think you're going to find a buyer or a seller willing to pay for that. So that fee is actually going to go away, right? And it doesn't hit the buyer and it doesn't hit the seller. It's one agent charging the other agent a fee. And it's something that I think will go away. This settlement, I believe, is a good thing. I think it's going to disrupt the traditional commission model, right? Which will give the home buyer and the seller more negotiating power and force agents to compete on pricing. So, you know, what do I mean by that? I think that, you know, where someone says, you know, Jeff, I will represent you at 3%. Well, you know, another agent could come in and say, you know, Jeff, I'm going to represent you at 2%. And so I think it puts into the fair market kind of mentality where the agent and the buyer can negotiate. The agents can go and, you know, display their abilities, and the client can make a decision whether that fee of 3% or 2% or whatever the case may be is really makes sense to them. And so they can say yes, they can say no, and they can say something otherwise.
Right.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
We're listening to John Grasse from LPT Realtor Realty. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know, bringing you Tampa, another great weekend of some great information for you. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsor and friend, Dan Austin from Faithful Delivery Services. If you need something delivered same or next day in the Tampa Bay area for prices less than brown or blue, just give Dan Austin a holler. Google Faithful Delivery Services. So, John, you know, as we kind of progress through this, you know, conversation, and from, let's just take it from a consumer standpoint. So I want to, you know, buy a house and sell a house. As the homeowner or the home buyer, what kind of changes on their end? And, you know, not so much what happens so on the agency side of things. Anything different on our end? So, like, if I'm a seller, what's that agent relationship look like? And then if I'm a buyer, what does that agent relationship look like? And what might have changed in these agreements?
Well, one thing that has changed from the buyer's perspective is that there is this document that they're gonna have to sign. And this document, you have to have this document signed prior to showing anyone a property.
Okay.
And what can happen is that there's a fine for the first time of not having a buyer sign it to the agent. Then there's a second time. And, you know, you could ultimately have your license revoked.
Okay.
Right. If you're a perpetual, you know, offender of not following the NAR mandates. The agreement for the buyer has a day in which it begins. You know, the agreement can be a daily, could be a week, could be a month. You know, the agreement has to, it's going to be based on maybe a specific property, Maybe it's a couple properties could be agreed upon in a location. In regards to the seller, so what we're seeing happen right now is that the seller has a couple of choices, right? They can still offer compensation towards the buyer's agent, but they can also, and, you know, one thing that I think a lot of agents will hear is that if I'm representing somebody and I make a phone call, and Jeff, you are the seller's agent, and I say, hi, Jeff, this is John Grasse with LPT Realty. I'd like to show somebody your property. Are you offering compensation? My advice at this point to everybody is that you have a couple choices. You could say yes. You could say, you know, compensation is such, but that is not the purpose of this law. What I would recommend that you say is we are willing to negotiate compensation, right? This is where the whole crux, I believe, of the agreement is where it gives the seller the ability to negotiate the buyer's agent's compensation, right? So, you know, you're willing to negotiate, or the seller could say, no, we're not going to. In that case, if the seller says no, then the buyer would be responsible for the agent's fee. Agreed compensation, right?
So if I hear this right, and I try to kind of, you know, pull things down into layman's terms. So I'm looking to buy a house, and I have my agent, you know, I hire my agent, and the agent and I negotiate a buyer's agreement, correct? So that will spell out terms of like what I'm willing to pay him, where he's supposed to look, how many homes he's going to show, whatever that buyer's agreement. And then that agent is going to go out and talk with the sellers and then try to negotiate on my behalf if they would help compensate part of that agreement. So if I tell my buyer's agent that, hey, listen, I'm willing to pay you, you know, 2.5% on the buy side, but you, you know, try to negotiate some of that on the sell side, they may contact that seller and say, hey, you know, are you willing to negotiate? And they may give a point or two, you know, to, you know, part of the negotiation, part of the deal to kind of offset, you know, even my compensation. You know, so if I think I understand that correctly, but it's like, it's going to take some, and this is one of the reasons why I'm having you on. We're talking with John Grasse from LPT Realty, just like from my perspective, and it's been done so many years that, hey, listen, I'm going to go buy a house. I find an agent, the agent signed the buyer broker. I know that, you know, they could get paid 3%. And then the seller, if I wanted to sell my house, I'd find the agent, sign an agreement with them. They sell my house, they get 3%. So there could be 6% total on the deal. But you know, that's just kind of like it's the way it's worked in the past. But now everything's being disclosed and everything's kind of being renegotiated. Which I think, like you mentioned, you feel it's a good thing. It's just going to take a little while to understand and change the norms. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's a good thing for the consumer, and here's why, right? As you just, with your example, said 6%. Now, the consumer now, as the seller, has the opportunity to negotiate not only his agent's commission, the selling agent's commission, but also the buyer's agent's commission. So he has options now. Before, what had transpired was in the MLS, it said, you know, Jeff, the seller's agent, says they're going to offer 2.5%, right? And now that number for the buyer's agent is negotiable. And I think that benefits the consumer immensely. And that was really the reasoning behind the class action suit against NAR, National Association of Realtors, was to create one, transparency, and to benefit the consumer so they had options and choices and the ability to negotiate.
Yeah, so in principle, the protection is there for the consumers, and now that gives them some more power. So it'd definitely be worth someone's time to maybe, you know, if they need further explanation, to give you a call and talk with you. John Grasse from LPT Realty. John, what if someone wanted to reach out to you, I might as well share that with them right now, because it's probably a little bit deeper in our conversation, and maybe I'd love to have you back you know, for a second episode. We got a lot more to cover here today, but, you know, how would one reach you?
All right. It's John Grasse. And my phone number is 727-735-3370. You can also find my website. It's TampaRealEstateByGrasse.com. Or you can also look me up on LinkedIn, right? I'm on LinkedIn. And another way that you can find me is my email is realestatebygrasse@gmail.com.
Okay. And Grasse is G-R-A-S-S-E, correct?
It's like spelled like grass with an E.
There you go. We'll put that up on our website at That Is Good To Know, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. We'll put all that information up for you and set links, you know, to the LinkedIn page and to the website and what have you, so you can check that out. John, you know, and I appreciate you spending the time with us. And, you know, I think the purpose is good. To help the consumers, to protect the consumers, and to give the consumers some negotiating things. Talk to us what happens with on the agent side of things. What's the rumble? What's the thing? You know, is it good to them? Is it just change to them? Is it, you know, from the agent side, buying and selling?
Yeah.
What's the thought? Nobody likes change after so long. You know what I mean? But you know, where do you?
Yeah,
guys
I think. Whenever, you know, you're shifting a paradigm, and this paradigm of being a practice that's been going on for a very long time, it also is something that the individuals, the agents, now there's a mixed opinion, right? There's some agents that are worried because it's the unknown and they don't know what's going to happen. But I think from my perspective, I think you have to embrace change, right? And you have to be able to understand that this is good for the client. Yes, there's going to be some that are nervous about it, but I think they have to sharpen their pencil and to be able to be aware of the lawsuit and to not step in any potholes. I think they have to be aware that it is good for the consumer. And the bottom line is, you know, I've always said that if you look at my newsletters and such that I send out, you know, someone says, John, so what do you do? And I say, I positively impact people's lives. And within real estate, I think you have to take the look is that what you're doing is you're trying to positively impact somebody's life in making the largest purchase that they could ever make. And as such, you have to embrace the change. It's hard. I know I had been in corporate world for a long time. And there's edicts and changes all the time. But here in this environment, we have another change. And, you know, I believe that a lot of agents are embracing it and they're just trying to learn and learn as they go, which is okay. Because when it's new, everybody's learning, the
right.
Consumer and the community.
Right. A quick question. Is there appeals going on? Is there lawsuits going on against this to try to get this reversed? Just curious. I'm sure there is.
there's a couple brokerages that are fighting it, right? And we won't name their names, but there's the final. I think the final. I think it's like October, November that there's going to be a final decision on it.
Okay.
But what NAR is doing now is they're getting ahead of it, and they presented this as. A way to fix or correct the situation. They never admitted guilt because they, you know, it's just a practice that had been in play for a long time. But they put this out as a best practice for the consumer. And I fully embrace it. And I think that it's a win for the consumer. I think that it will also, it allows the agent and the consumer to become partners in this situation.
Okay.
Where they're both working on a negotiation strategy when they're buying a house. They're working on a negotiation strategy when they're selling a house.
Right.
So I think it's a win-win for all. I really do.
Fantastic. Talking with John Grasse, LPT Realty, about the changes that are going on in the real estate industry, you know, with regarding to the the National Association of Realtors, the practices that are taking place. One question that I had, how does this impact someone like a for sale by owner? You know, there's, let's say it happens, you know what I mean? You're a real estate agent, but you know, there's someone that wants to sell their home. They think they got a great property. It's going to sell in a week and, you know, people are going to flood to them and they want to just put it up by themselves. What do they need to do as far as like buyer agents coming by?
Well, the agent will still have to have a buyer broker's agreement to show properties.
Okay.
And I would advise anybody just to make sure that they don't get into, you know, stepping into the mud, that even if it's a for sale by owner, that you get a buyer broker agreement. It secures both parties, right? I know that there's these various concerns. The consumer says, well, it's a one-sided agreement. It's for the broker to get paid. But really what it also does is it protects fair housing law, right? There's areas of agency where it allows and forces the agent the matter of confidentiality, right? A fiduciary responsibility. And so there's a lot of areas in which it really benefits the buyer. And so wherever you're going to go, if you're going to go see a property, I would recommend that you just fill this out no matter what.
Okay. We got a couple minutes left. We're talking with John Grasse from LPT Realty. We're going to put his information up on our website at www.thatisgoodtoknow. This session is brought to you by Dan Austin from our friends at Faithful Delivery Services. John, one more time on your phone number and your website.
My phone number is 727-735-3370. My website is TampaRealEstateByGrasse.com, and my email is realestatebygrasse@gmail.com. And you can also look me up on LinkedIn if you want to know more about me. My resume and my past corporate experience is all out there for everyone to see.
Very good. Very good. A couple minutes left, and we'll probably have you back to do another episode. You know, this is really new and it's really good information, but some of the pitfalls of like, if I'm working with a broker and I'm buying a house, what should I look like in the contract to make sure that I'm protected? And I'll probably have one of my friends that's an attorney, you know, actually talk about the contract law, but we got about a minute left. Maybe just some things like, you know, two or three things that they should definitely take a look at and ask questions on.
Yeah. I think you have to agree to understand the term of the agreement, right? You really want to make sure that this is not a unending agreement. You need to come up with a beginning and an end date, and that's for them to decide. Another piece that, that I really want people to understand is the retainer fee. In the Florida law there on the contract, it has a retainer fee, and it's a non-refundable fee. And so, you know, people might be asking you for a retainer fee, and I would be aware of that, right? I personally don't request a retainer fee. This is just part of the services I provide. Okay. You need to understand the compensation. Is it for the purchase? Is it by percent? Is it by dollar amount? So you need to know these, right? Are you looking at leasing? Because this also applies if you're wanting to lease and rent a property as well, right? Okay. You also need to understand if there's any other additional brokerage fees, right? There's also a protection period within it that states that, you know, and this is to protect the agent, that if they show you a home and in the next 30 days you go see that home and go buy it, you're going to be kind of in a pickle on that, because there's a termination date that if someone shows you the property, you're going to be
fantastic.
Liable problem.
Well, I'd love to have you back, John. John Grasse from LPT Realty. This is Jeff Stanislow for That Is Good to Know. Have a great weekend, Tampa.